With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to part two of the Guitar Nerds Bronk Off. Now, as I said on the end of the previous episode, we recorded this all in one full swoop. So I'm going to drop you right into the conversation where we left off in part one.
The thing that I find with the Bronco 2 is it like, as they were saying, it's like the body, it's such a lively, resonant body that when you're playing it, it's just like... the pickup will make a huge difference in what you're doing there. And which is great. Cause you think about like harder, denser woods. And it's like that the frequencies that it's going to resonate at are roughly the same, but it's like the magnetics that you put with that as well, with this really soft feeling wood, it just gives you so much to work with.
Yeah, exactly. Completely.
And so other than the pickup, what other upgrades did you make that were, I guess, not aesthetic? Before we move on to aesthetics,
sure. So, not aesthetic was the tech who installed the pickup for me upgraded the pots. So the pots were better suited to accommodate the far higher output of the B90.
Well, they're another weird thing in the Bronco. Mm. They're super mini pots. So if you're keeping the plate on a Bronco, you've got to drill out the holes for the pots, which is weird.
And while you're at that, drilling those holes, the tuners swapped out as well in this first Bronco mod for me. So already I was a fan of Hipshot hardware, found it just super sturdy, really, really reliable. And I thought... the stock tuners just don't really do justice to the things I like about this Bronco. So I stuck some Hipshot ultralights on this first Bronco, and I went for lollipop shape. I think
very cool.
Yeah, it's
very cool.
That was a really nice sort of balancer to the B90. I think by this time the JMJ.
The Fender Mustang JMJ.
Yes, Justin Maldal Jones signature bass had come out with lollipop tuners, which had really reminded me how much I liked them. Those were the main... In fact, that was the extent of the hardware
the rest of them
and electrical aesthetic mods. Yeah, and the rest of them were aesthetic.
On Hipshot ultralights, great tuners. I don't know if this is like a generational thing of sort of, I guess, what people think of as being like a proper tuner. Mm. But on the Ashdown basis, we went for Hipshot ultralights.
Oh, awesome.
And yeah. I get a comment all the time online whenever I post the basis that's got a picture of the back of the headstock. And actually I had a couple of people mention when we had the shop in on Tottenham Court Road, you came down, JD, to that. Yeah. When we had people checking out the basis there, like I had a couple of people coming in. It was always older people that were coming in, but they were like, "You want to get some proper tuners on this though?" It's because they're small on the back.
Okay,
that's interesting.
People think they're not proper tuners because they're not massive and heavy. It's like no, they work.
It can work both ways. Well,
let me explain gear ratio to all of you. that's interesting. I wouldn't have thought that. I think it's interesting with the ultralights. Like I don't know that I would have those on sort of a 34, 35 inch scale bass or whatever. Right. But it sort of feels like, it's weird to me. I don't think I would ever have thought about that because it's like for me because it's I guess maybe because I know engineering and or I just trust Hipshot because I put Hipshot stuff on almost all the Fender basses I've had. Everything is always I've always upgraded with Hipshots and detuners and all those. So yeah,
It's weird that Hipshot have absolutely dominated the tuner market and don't seem to have managed to do the same when it comes to bridges.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's. I mean, because you think about it, and there's still like there's Schaller and some other like you see Goto and stuff around, but yeah, bridges is weird. Yeah, although there are a couple bridges that work with the Bronco that are the Hipshot bridges, like the vintage, right. Some of the vintage spec, and I really. Yeah, that's interesting because like I really love almost everything Hipshot does. Like I can't think of anything I don't love, and I've never really had a Hipshot bridge because I always go with like you know a badass when they were still still around.
Everyone goes for a badass, and there are plenty of companies that, like I think is it Omega who do the common copy I guess of a badass.
Yeah, I don't have any experience with those, but. Yeah, because I bought a couple like of the Leo Kwans when they were sort of winding down, just and then they last forever. So
yeah,
you don't really
exactly.
Yeah, you know, but and then I really like the Babbage. Like I like those Babbage really bridges. And as far as like being able to really transfer a lot of energy but weighing nothing, like that's what I had on that jazz bass that we were talking about earlier off air. Yeah, you didn't miss anything, and it's like that's what I put on that, and it was. Such a great bridge, such an innovative design as well.
So. I do really like the Babbage, and I bought a secondhand fretless like Mexican jazz bass that had some upgrades, had Aguilar pickups, and had a Babbage bridge. And I was like,
basically, sounds like the one I sold recently.
But I was like, oh, brilliant Babbage bridge, and really sort of you know I knew they were good, they were great, and I was like, oh, I got it. I was like, right, need to set up. Why do I need two different Allen keys for this? Like, I'm not saying they're not great. I'm just like, you've made something complicated that doesn't need to be. That was my problem with it. I'm sure that their intonation is very, very good, but I don't care about those sort of things.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because I don't remember any struggles with it. And then,
well, I'm sure it's just me.
Well, no, that's not about that. But I was just like, I remember it being pretty... straightforward and you know I know I've said things like intonation is a myth before, but it's something I really care about way.
So it's not I've remembered what it is, it's that it locks the bridge. That's what it is,
because so, it's the rolling.
So it's like so you have to, once you've adjusted it, you then lock it, and I didn't know that at first, so I'm like, why isn't this moving? It was because it's locked, but I'm sure it is a very good bridge. Let's talk about the aesthetic changes you made on your original Bronco, Naomi. What did you do with the finish? We know what you did with the finish, but I want to hear about this.
You want to drag me through this again?
Talk us through the visuals,
right? Well. Right, well, warning graphic scenes ahead.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The finish, obviously, that the Bronco comes with a stock is totally poly finish. It's black or it's red. Which red is it?
It's an excellent question.
I feel like it's Torino red, but it's a very Squire Torino red.
I feel like the name doesn't really matter.
Sure. Yeah. Well, it's black red. Or red.
I actually think I'm not even sure they gave it a name.
Yeah.
I feel like it
might be red. Yeah.
Okay. Sure. Well, it does not leave a huge amount of room for the imagination, even with sort of, you know, you could put a cool pick guard on it, of course, as stock, but I wanted to go a lot further than this. And I guess with my general interest aesthetically in sort of 1970s instruments and a lot of natural finishes across both vintage and modern instruments, I wanted to bring this to the Bronco, seeing as I was modding it anyway.
And risk with something as budget is that going to bear
absolutely wood? Yeah, absolutely. So I took this on completely by myself and very aware that it was kind of becoming more DIY as I went. I stripped without bothering to sort of rent a heat gun or any of the sort of recommended techniques for finish removing. I chipped off the poly finish. Now, luckily,
it must have taken forever.
It did. Yeah. And I did it in my family kitchen at the time and certainly upset. I think my mother might still be hoovering pieces of poly finish from the depths of our kitchen lino today. But yeah, so I manually chipped off the thick poly finish. What I was left with was certainly by no means perfect. It required a little bit of sanding, but again, I did this just by hand. There's a very thin layer of white primer that you find beneath this thick poly finish.
Oh, it's horrible.
You've seen it, exactly. So Joe, you obviously stripped the finishes for our
Bronco. But I heat-gunned it, and the primer is the problem, because the
primer is more permanent than the thick poly finish.
But the poly finish, even when you heat-gun it off, essentially you're heat-gunning it to the point that you can get a chisel underneath and it chips off, and a big chunk comes off. That's done. The primer just turns into like PVA glue on the body. And it's just a nightmare.
Yeah. So between that and obviously obviously the Bronco is a body that's not intended to have that finish removed. So there was some quite chunky sort of glue spots. The piecing, I remember, was kind of interesting on my first Bronco. So yeah, these were things that I sort of thought, okay, I should think about what I'd like to do here. And what I ended up doing, again, just super DIY, literally down to my local hardware store, I put like a mahogany stain over the natural finish. Once I brought out, once I sanded just enough to bring out the kind of full natural presentation, I thought a nice rich kind of mahogany tone over this would be quite nice. And I stained it and very deliberately left it to age unfinished. So it's a totally unfinished finish. Yeah,
it's picked up some nice wear into the stain now, like where you get those, it's like color fluctuations where your arm obviously sort of leans on.
Yeah. So this is a base that I've gigged a lot since. I feel like my first Bronco mod was the very kind of outward turning point in just completely letting go of any brand preconceptions. I'm so done with brand preconceptions now. I feel like this Bronco was not the first excellent Squire I played, but it was one that I'm completely happy to sort of make a bit of a noise about, both literally and figuratively, for what you can do on that much of a budget.
Yeah.
I at the time received a few comments kind of saying like, oh my God, you know, you've put more financially in mods into this than you spent on the instrument. It's like, that's fine. Yeah, I've ended up with
kind of the point.
It was kind of the point was, like this kind of practice point for modding. Certainly left me feeling like I'd be a lot more confident modding other slightly more expensive models now.
I think what you were talking about there too, about like the, like when you take the paint and primer and everything like off the base, sort of realizing that it's like, this wasn't a base that was ever meant to have this paint removed. Like that, that was something when I was building instruments that we would look at. We would take the wood and we would say, this is one that needs to be black. This is one that needs to be a sunburst. This is one that is natural. And it's mostly the figuration and things like that. And it's, you find ones with like imperfections, because I think people are becoming much more, people are releasing series around like having bases with imperfections in them and stuff now. But it's like, but it was a thing for so long. It was like everything needed to be pristine. And if there was any sort of like knotting in the wood or any sort of like small cavity that would easily be filled with filler, that it couldn't be a natural finished instrument. And like, that's one of those things you see with like, certainly in the Broncos, like once we've, you know, like seen the bodies, you're like, whew, these are meant for paint.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. They weren't exactly handpicked basewood pieces at the factory, I don't think.
There wasn't any 5A, you know, flame maple underneath.
And you know what? If nothing else, I think that is testament to how resonant and how consistent Broncos still appear to be.
Yeah.
Like, with those things taken into account, you know, these pieced bodies of cheap material still seem to result in great sounding instruments, and that's before any mods.
Yeah.
But yeah, sorry, just to bring it back to aesthetics, the final 2 points, I think final 2 points on my mod were to match the sort of mahogany natural finish that I went for. I hit up a tort guard, 3-4-ply tort guard, to kind of bring things back into refinement a little from the very rustic body finish. Because the body finish kind of has its chips and all, and I'm into that. That was sort of the point with my hyper DIY approach. And I finished it off with 2 red jazz bass knobs to continue the sort of warm, earthy sort of 1970s visuals.
Very nice. Very nice. Mm. Yeah, the one thing that I've thought of, when I got those, the 3 Broncos that we had, and I probably would have come on to this in a minute, but talking about the, you know, you removing the finish from those, I got 3 black Broncos, and I removed the finish for all of us for those bases. Their serial numbers were 1 apart.
Oh, wow. You know,
so they, okay, they were literally
from the factory belt.
Yeah, yeah. The 3 next to each other. They had different primer undercolors. One of them, wow, one of them had white primer,
yeah,
and 2 of them had red primer underneath.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay.
Which was very weird.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And the red primers, were, I think, was the first one I did, and I was like, this was a dawdle. This was very, very easy. No problem at all. Did one of the white ones. I was like, oh, this is terrible. It's turning into like PVA glue underneath the finish.
Maybe it was just glue.
Yeah, maybe it literally was.
It was just filler.
Yeah, it was like, a bad day for red primer in the factory.
It's just testament to the fact that it's like, are you just like making these with whatever you've got lying around? It really feels like they feel a bit chop shop. For,
I mean, if they are, it's sort of, it's part of the majesty of of like the inverse majesty of a Bronco.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, we should talk about our Broncos now. Yes. We should come on to that. We should talk about the 3 Broncos, dear listeners. So we had to upgrade tuners, pickups, wiring if we wanted to, the finish, the hardware. We were going to make neck modifications. That was what we were going to do. So let's go through kind of what we each did on each of those things. Mm. So tuners, I guess, first of all, we'll go around the room, we'll go through each bit, talk about each of them, and then at the end maybe we can summarize our instrument in full. So tuners was the first thing. And like we said, we all wanted to change. We hadn't talked about that, but you'd gone for the Hipshot ultralights on your previous one, the lollipops.
Yes.
And we wanted to go for those again, because really
it's the right choice.
Yeah, really. They're just great tuners.
Yeah, that was one unanimous choice across the 3, and was an easy one for us, I think, with Hipshot's track record and super solid tuners.
Surprisingly difficult. Initially, we wanted lollipops, didn't we? Impossible to get in the UK.
I mean, I think it's also, we tried to do this like mid-season 2 pandemic times.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so like, true. Like, true. It was like, there was like supply chain anyway. So it was, yeah, I think it was great. We all end up with Clovers.
We all got the Hipshot ultralight Clovers. Yeah, BTN Music really sorted us out there, because they even they were sort of like low on stock, and they managed to get us the 2 sets. So we went. Naomi, did we both go for Chrome?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. We both went for Chrome. Chrome. I was initially thinking of Mini Clovers, and I think they proved. I think for this project, we weren't able to get our hands on Mini Clovers. So yeah, I went for regular Clovers, and Chrome fit with the rest of my mod. So I was happy with that.
That's right. Well, I like the way ultralights have that sort of, they have that satin, middle bit to them. Yeah. It's kind of cool. I like the sort of two different tones of metal.
Yeah, I do too. And then like for mine, I ended up going with black tuners, which was, I think it was unsaid at the time, but we were all a bit like, why did he go with black tuners?
Yeah.
But like, in the end, there is method to the madness. But yeah.
Indeed.
Like,
you've definitely made it a real theme throughout, and brought everything in a really tasteful way, which we'll go into.
Yeah,
but you know, you've done a great job with the black tuners. But yeah, at the time I was like, I think JD's just getting these because me and Naomi have gone for the same tuner.
it was just a bit of my oppositional defiance that was like, it's like, I'm going to get black ones. But no, it was something I really thought would be like a nice offset. part of it was that it would stand out a bit and would be a bit different, but and there's a bit, like, for me, because the Bronco just really felt like a vintage-y vibe kind of instrument, non-trademarked, that I wanted to, like, I wanted to vintage vibe it, but was kind of thinking of, like, for me, a lot of it was, like, the stuff you were thinking about in, like the 80s, 90 era of, like, you know, Japanese Fenders and sort of Japanese basses and stuff like that. So I was kind of thinking that era and being like, well, Black Tuners immediately, to me, sort of send... feels like that time.
Well, let's talk about the hardware now. There's no point waiting. So with the hardware, you really made it a theme because you brought it in throughout the rest of the instrument.
Yeah, so what I ended up doing was, like, I tried to do a couple other things. I ended up just keeping the stock bridge, but what I ended up doing was taking off the saddles and everything, and then sort of sanding down the bridge, and then I painted that black. And then I also have a black scratch plate on mine, and it's a matte scratch plate. And so, like, there's a bit of a sheen to the bridge that I didn't really like. So I started, just, you know, with some steel wool, like, going over that, just taking it down to kind of a matte. And then I was thinking, actually, I'm going to relic it a bit, 'cause I wanted kind of so there's like a tiny, tiny bit of relicking around it. And then I kept the bridge saddles and the screws and everything
very,
like,
nice.
Very, like, still chrome. And so it's like this, it's like black and chrome, like, offset on the bridge.
I think that's such a nice touch, and it kind of harks to the tiny other bits of chrome around the body, which literally are, I think, the pickup poles and the input jack.
Yeah, yeah.
So the two-tone really, really kind of matte. Yeah, it's a really nice attention to detail.
And the screws you went for?
Yeah, I ended up getting some black screws on the black scratch plate. So it's kind of stealthy. So the only things you really see are, you can kind of get a bit of silver around, like, I have, like, API, like, console style knobs on it, but you see the input jack, the saddles, the screws in the bridge, and then it's just the pickup, like, body that is chrome. Like, that's the only real chrome pieces. Everything, every other piece of hardware is black. So the string retainer is black.
Which goes the whole way through the body.
Yeah. A little bit through. Yeah. The screw with the string retainer is thicker than the headstock, but, you know, it's fine. It just gives you a little poke. But I also, so the strap locks I ended up going with are the NS Design Diodario ones that are sort of this blacky chrome sort of thing. Anyway, so, like, almost everything is sort of stealth, but I kind of wanted to just have bits of chrome popping out. And so, like, yeah, like, replacing the screws made it so there wasn't 11 different, like, pops of chrome there, and just made it, like, one big black plate.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, exactly. Well, let's, I mean, with hardware, actually, Naomi and me, we've both stuck with the stock bridge. We didn't change that. I think, did you changed your pickguard screws, right? You've gone for some tasteful black pickguard screws as well.
I have done. Genuinely, that was not a dig to JD or a flex, as it were. So
one for the kids.
Yeah, the black pickguard screw choice was to match both the ply on the pickguard and the pickup itself, which is a Mojo Dyna Soap Bar P90.
Yeah, very nice. Let's talk
to bring
about
us
those.
Nicely onto pickups. Onto pickup. Yeah, so
we were very, very much sorted out by Mojo pickups. Yeah. They let us each choose our pickup from their base collection of pickups.
And also Q Jump, which I am very excited about.
Yes, they did. This is the worst thing. So, you know, when we started doing the Bronco, the Bronco, we had this idea that we were going to do it, like, in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah,
lots of stuff happened. You know, last year that prevented us from doing it in as short a time as possible. But when I spoke to Mojo Pickups about getting the pickups, they were like, yeah, we can do them. But of course, you know, our books are closed at the moment. We're about sort of a 6-week waiting list. And I was like, oh, it'd be really great if we could get, we really need it for 2 weeks to get this podcast. That was a year ago.
Oh, dear. So yeah.
They jumped us up the queue, made us these pickups, sent the pickups like next day delivery to me. And that was the last they heard.
Yeah. I mean, it.
No, I did let them know.
Yeah. Huge thing. I mean, it is the thing that has really made my base, I feel like. Because
I think all of them. Like,
yeah. Certainly and same for mine. Yeah.
It was the same with the Serik upgrade on your original. Mm-hmm. Just changing up to some sort of big, powerful, large pickup in the middle of a Bronco can completely change this instrument.
Yeah, it's the center to transforming it from a kind of super budget, super entry level instrument to a gigging.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
like exactly. ready to be professional instrument.
One of the things that Mojo do now, actually they didn't do at the time that we ordered the pickups, they do a complete like a drop-in for a Bronco now.
A
four-pole awesome pickup, mm-hmm, with all the electrics and everything else, which actually McNelly also did, which is what I put in my Music Master. I got it through James's Home of Tone.
Of course.
Lovely sort of McNelly, like, is that such a good sounding pickup, mm-hmm, complete with the volume and tone. And now it's great that Mojo do the same thing. Great if you don't want to cut into the body or make any adjustments.
To be fair, I feel like either of those is the right answer. Yeah. You know, yeah. Either of those would be like, yeah, if I were to do it again. I mean, to be fair, I had loads of fun doing all this, but like if I had to do it again, it's like, yeah, a drop in would be so simple to it would immediately take this from absolute budget beginner thing to a completely giggable, could play any size venue with this, any level of importance gig with this and be happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The drop-ins are a great solution. And both McNelly and Mojo just make really good pickups.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But let's talk about the pickups we chose, because we all chose different pickups, obviously quite deliberately, because we all wanted to have something slightly different. We've gone for some weird ones. So Naomi, you've gone for, a similar vibe in that you've gone for another P90, B90 style pickup.
Yes, I have done. So I didn't stray a million miles from the original B90 in my first Bronco mod. But I also didn't deliberately choose the Soap Bar P90 by Mojo as a... Yeah, I chose it for organic reasons as opposed to deliberately being super different from what both of yourselves had. I can't argue with loving just the P90 sound generally, both for guitar and bass. You know, fatness and bite very much suits the range of styles that I play, and having quite a stark contrast as I roll off tone in the tone control on the Bronco really suits me as well, to have that sort of range. And the Mojo P90 Soap Bar was a good fit for that, so I'm really happy I went with that choice. The Mojo range is awesome, and I'm not trying to take away from that. And also, I still think with the both of your choices, which I would have been happy to have in mine, I'm kind of happy to go P90 again, to be honest.
Well, the Dynabase, the Mojo Dynabase, which is what you've gone for, I also chose for myself in my Fidelity Stellarossa build. Mm-hmm. It was, I think, you know, it was great choosing something fun and weird for this, but actually when it comes down to a functioning, all-purpose, great-sounding pickup, the Dynabase is a really good solution. It also looks fantastic, because you've got that. It's squarer than a P90. Mm. It's, you know, it's got the raised pole pieces, the lovely sort of black plastic front with the chrome surround. It's cool. It's very iconic. It's got a proper sort of like 50s vibe. It reminds me of the original neck pickup in a Les Paul.
Yes, absolutely.
That sort of two-tone look, which is very cool. Definitely yours is the most... This is a modern application pickup. It works in all situations, whereas I think me and JD went for weirder things.
Yeah, imagine that. so I went with the G-tone, which is the Gaia tone, like gold foil. So it's... you know, very much like 60 spec gold foil. It's got the orange, like a like blast of orange, like
the weird orange bar for no reason.
Yeah.
I mean, I it just looks so mojo-y, vibey.
Yeah,
you know, like mojo in like lowercase, and then you know, as is the business. But like, it's like I just really dug it because I was thinking, like, for me, what I wanted this base to be was something different than what I have. And almost all of my other bases, like my Stonefields and like some of my, like the custom base I have that I use quite a bit, is like they're huge sounding bases. And I wanted something that was just, that was different, that still can still sound big, but is that is more focused, is more sort of pokey, as I was kind of saying earlier. And I think it's perfect. Also, it's a really cool vibey look. And when I was initially starting this, I was really thinking that like mid-century modern 60s, like kind of thinking about like old, like Soviet era, like military equipment, like the Altec Lansing stuff as well. And that was always the vibe I was thinking, which I think, again, just to say this, a bit of this modding journey is there's many forks in the road, you know, like the best laid plans completely change. So I went with that pickup because it was like something different. It's something I don't really have in any other base. So.
Yeah, exactly. It's such an unusual pickup to be in the Mojo pickup arsenal, I think. Bear in mind, he doesn't make a P bass or a jazz bass.
So. Yeah.
But true. He does an orange Gaia tone pickup.
Yeah.
But I went for one of the other weird... The jazz bass solution that Mojo make is a Jazz Master shaped jazz bass pickup. So big, you know, white, the sort of jazz bass style in that it has two pole pieces slightly to either side of the each string, but, you know, designed for a four string bass. And they're supposed to be sold as a set because he's literally thinking you cut these into a jazz bass. But obviously I've gone for one just in the middle of the Bronco. It's actually great. I was worried it would be a bit thin, you know, like how a jazz bass sounds when you're just using the middle pickup, or I guess a bit noisy, like how a jazz bass.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
But it's not. It's great. It's super consistent. I'm really articulate. I've actually been really into it. And I was saying earlier to you, Naomi, about the fact that it's so large and in the middle of the body. It's actually great for finger style. I know this is a little like, who cares about this, dear listener? But you know, when you're playing finger style and your fingers pass through to the body, if you have something blocking that so you're not, your finger's not moving further, I don't know how to describe it. It makes you able to play quicker.
It's basically, it's the whole reason people have ramps on jazz bases. Yeah. And you know, like, and you know, surely there's someone who's not a YouTuber that has a ramp on their bass. But you know, like, but in essence, you have a pickup that is kind of a ramp because there's so much like surface area outside the pole pieces. It's really interesting.
I found it so oddly comfortable that I was saying to you guys before we put it, I was like, I think I am actually going to get a set and put this on a bass that I care about because they're actually really good. You know, outside of it just being like a fun, weird, cool thing.
I mean, I will say too about the Gaito, which is also, they have like bridge and neck models of it as well. And it's, I was really expecting this to be somewhat noisy and not really usable because I love vintagey stuff. I hate signal noise, and it's, I wish I didn't, because you know, that's just a thing that would make my life a lot easier. But I mean, also on my cavity, it is completely copper shielded. Really did, you know, like I really did everything to that just in anticipation. Dead quiet from what I can tell, you know, like absolutely nothing. And it really makes it a usable, like it's something I could take into a studio and not have just loads of background noise that has to be filtered out.
It's very cool. Wiring, did you, because I feel like you've really gone to town on the actual functionality, which I have not. I mean, the wiring on mine is wiring that I ripped out of an old like 80s Tokai hard puncher that I have for, it doesn't work, like the neck's all bent and bowed, so I just have it sort of hanging around for spare parts really. But Yeah, I just took the electrics out of that, which obviously we found when we were recording the demos. There was one position I could sit in where the jack actually fit in. So I've put no effort into those. Naomi, did you change any of the wiring in yours, or is it stock?
It is, no, so it's not stock wiring. So again, as per my first mod, there are new pots in to match.
Right, but they're just stuff that you haven't changed. Well,
I've not gone in and shielded the inner routing or anything like that, and it's proof.
But you've not changed any resistors or anything like that. You've not gone for posh wiring. It's just a drop in of, you know, a conventional size. Because of course, again, the sizes are just mad weird sizes.
Exactly.
It must be harder for them to get hold of those weird sizes. I don't know.
No, but those continues are strange. Our list of questions for the Bronco factory, I suppose.
But you, did you? I feel like this is the sort of thing you put some effort into.
We're all smirking at each other and be like, yes, I did. So I have, for the volume and tone, I have the Dunlop Super Pots, which.
What are they?
So basically, just really, they're just high quality sealed pots that are the same, you know, 250 audio taper that you would normally get. So they're like a modern version that is, I think, a bit better. And they are posh pots, really. Right. You know, posh versions of the CTS pots. Mm.
Right, I see.
I mean, it's still straightforward in that it's a typical P-bass wiring. So it's just bridge to volume to tone with a... Right. And I ended up going with the 47... capacitor, like for my tone. I thought about going with like a 27, just to kind of, this is real nerdy for the specs out there, but it is the Guitar Nerds podcast. But it was, so I ended up just going with a typical orange drop that you really see. But again, it's a posh capacitor, and it's but I was also thinking, you know, kind of back to this, you were talking about Naomi, where it's like, well, you spent more on the mods than anything. I was like, base was 100 quid. I can spend an extra $2 on a capacitor that, to be fair, if I were buying in the thousands, would cost, you know, like pennies. But but I was like, that's a couple quid. It's fine. Yeah. Like, I might as well get it. And there's some really good pots out there. Yeah, capacitors I really like. Like Emerson makes some really great ones. And I just went with a classic orange drop. And then I can't remember the name right now, but the jack I did go with like some super locking jet, like high spec, but again, it was almost kind of to be ridiculous, in a way that all like the highest end components you can get, in that doesn't matter. But the highest end component, I mean, the Dunlop pots are probably 10-12 quid a piece, you know, which is like, but it was that I initially went with like pushback wire and all that to be classic. Mm-hmm. I realize every time I try to solder with pushback, I hate pushback wire. So I just went with like more modern, like actual wire, because it technically doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And then what I did find, though, is that because I went all the copper shielding first, I had a bit of trouble with like making sure that the pots weren't also touching the copper shielding. So I have some like electrical tape, like kind of wrapped around the pots, just to make sure that there's no metal on metal unintentionally anywhere. Right.
Yeah.
So
awesome.
Yeah, I definitely spent no time at all on anything that wasn't stuff you see from the outside.
Just a fun story about like this is that I had to get a new soldering like station because I don't have one here. So I ordered one, and then it came and I didn't open it because I was like, well, I'm not going to need this for a while. And as you were saying before, I was like, we need this for 2 weeks, and then it's a year later. Yeah. So there's a huge amount of time that passed between when I got it. And then so when I had all this stuff and I was like, I'm going to go do electronics, everything like ready to go, open the soldering iron inside the box, which is, you know, labeled soldering iron and everything. There are instructions for how to use a soldering iron. You know, great. Open that up. It's a 2-gang exterior like socket. Like someone had like completely put the wrong thing in the wrong box. It's sealed. Everything. And so like I didn't have any time to do anything because I was like, this like time is a bit at a premium, and so I was just kind of like, what do I do? This is the day I have to do this. Yeah. And so I ended
this
up
isn't
like,
even nearly what you need either.
And I was like, I what do I even do? So I rang the place I bought it from, and I was like, can I do this? And basically, rightly so, they're like, when did you buy this? And I was like, May. And they're like, when is it now? And I was like, oh, it's like December. And they're like, why? How are you just now noticing? And I was like, well, because I haven't needed it yet. And it's like, didn't you open it? I was like, well, I opened it. I saw the box said soldering iron. And I was like, this is the thing I bought. I didn't open the box to be like, yeah, that definitely what's on the
Yeah,
but then.
And it's essence, not that it wasn't your taste, it's that it was.
Yeah, it was in essence, they were like, we can't really do anything for like six months ago. So then I started trying to figure out, okay, where can I go? So I was just like ringing local tool stations to be like, do they have a soldering iron?
Oh my goodness. Oh,
God.
Yeah, so that was a fun day.
Well, that concludes part two of the Guitar Nerds Bronkoff. Same as before, if you're listening to this as it comes out, part three will be out tomorrow. That's the final part of the Bronkoff. And if you're listening to this in the future, then just scroll along to part three, the finale of the Guitar Nerds Bronkoff.